Lunch breaks and prison breaks. Day breaks. Waves break. Voices break. Chains can be broken. So can silence and fever. For the last 2 months of my pregnancy, I made lists of these things in the hopes that it would make your birth easier. Promises break. Hearts break. On the night before you were born, I sat up in bed with something to add to my list. I rummaged in my nightstand for a pencil and paper, but Sean put his warm hand on my leg. "Charlotte?" he asked. "Is everything okay?" Before I could answer, he pulled me into his arms, flush against him, and I fell asleep feeling safe, forgetting to write down what I had dreamed. It wasn't until weeks later, when you were here, that I remembered what had awakened me that night. Fault lines. These are the places where the earth breaks apart. These are the spots where earthquakes originate, where volcanoes are born. Or, in other words, the world is crumbling under us. It's the solid ground beneath our feet that's an illusion. You arrived during a storm that nobody had predicted. A nor'easter, the weatherman said later. A blizzard that was supposed to blow north into Canada instead of working its way into a frenzy and battering the coast of New England. The news broadcasts tossed aside their features on high school sweethearts who met up again in a nursing home and got remarried, on the celebrated history behind the candy heart, and instead began to run constant weather bulletins about the strength of the storm and the communities where ice had knocked out the power. Amelia was sitting at the kitchen table, cutting folded paper into valentines, as I watched the snow blow in 6-foot drifts against the glass slider. The television showed footage of cars sliding off the roads. I squinted at the screen, at the flashing blues of the police cruiser that had pulled in behind the overturned vehicle, trying to see whether the officer in the driver's seat was Sean. A sharp rap on the slider made me jump. "Mommy!" Amelia cried, startled too. I turned just in time to see a volley of hail strike a second time, creating a crack in the plate glass no bigger than my fingernail. As we watched, it spread into a web of splintered glass as big as my fist. "Daddy will fix it later," I said. That was the moment when my water broke. Amelia glanced down between my feet. "You had an accident." I waddled to the phone, and when Sean didn't answer his cell, I called dispatch. "This is Sean O'Keefe's wife," I said. "I'm in labor." The dispatcher said that he could send out an ambulance, but that it would probably take a while. They were maxed out with motor vehicle accidents. "That's okay," I said, remembering the long labor I'd had with your sister. "I've probably got a while." Suddenly, I doubled over with a contraction so strong that the phone fell out of my hand. I saw Amelia watching, her eyes wide. "I'm fine," I lied, smiling until my cheeks hurt. The phone slipped. I reached for the receiver, and this time I called Piper, whom I trusted more than anyone in the world to rescue me. "You can't be in labor," she said, even though she knew better. She was not only my best friend, but also my initial obstetrician. "The C-section's scheduled for Monday." "I don't think the baby got the memo," I gasped, and I gritted my teeth against another contraction. She didn't say what we were both thinking, that I could not have you naturally. "Where's Sean?"
"I don't know. Oh, Piper."
"Breathe," Piper said automatically, and I started to pant, "ha, ha, he," the way she'd taught me. "I'll call Gianna and tell her we're on our way." Gianna was Dr. Del Sol, the maternal fetal medicine OB who had stepped in just 8 weeks ago at Piper's request. "We? Were you planning on driving yourself?" 15 minutes later, I had bribed